If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 2. And follow along, please, as I read beginning at verse 1. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and before your word. This is another very familiar passage of Scripture. And thankfully so. We should know the story of Jesus. We should know it well, from cradle to cross, to empty tomb. We should know that story. And in the familiarity, rejoice, be glad, be thankful that others took the time to tell us this old, old story over and over again so that it would become a part of who we are. But in the familiarity, let us not lose the significance, the importance, even of the detail. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Astronomers from the east saw something unusual. These magi, we don't really know who they were. We can surmise some things from what Scripture has said here and what we know of the history of the East and where they probably came from. But they saw a star in the East. It may have reminded them of something they'd read. One theory is that these wise men, these magi, were descendants of the same rulers, same counselors, governors that ruled in Babylon during the time of Daniel and Ezekiel. Maybe they knew the writings of Daniel. Maybe they knew the detail that Daniel had given to Israel about when they could look for and expect the Christ, the Messiah. the Redeemer. Maybe they were anticipating something would happen when this child was born. And there's that star. And please make, we don't try in any way to explain this astronomical occurrence in any natural way. This is not, they're not seeing planets come together at just the right time. This is a star placed there, a bright light placed there by God to catch their attention, to ultimately lead them to where they would find this child. They followed the star to see where it would lead them. And their arrival in Jerusalem caused quite a stir. Now, we have this discussion regularly in our house. As you've heard before, there's not a room in our house that doesn't have a nativity in it somewhere, and a couple of rooms have more than one. And regularly, even over my objection of all things, the wise men pop up. But in almost every nativity that I have seen, that includes the wise men, also includes at least one camel. Did they bring camels? I don't know. But wise men traveling from Babylon, all of the way, following the Fertile Crescent, all of the way down to Jerusalem, arriving, would have been quite a sight. Even in a city like Jerusalem, that caravan would have caught almost everyone's attention. They arrive, and immediately there is a series of questions. They have assumed, thinking, star in the east, Israel's Messiah, where would he be born? Jerusalem. And at this time, we believe many, many months have transpired. It took a while to get from Babylon to Jerusalem. And assuming that this child has been born, everyone's aware that he's been born and is there, surely in Jerusalem we'll find him, and surely they know where he is. Now, these men were important enough that they didn't have to stop at the welcome center and ask at the edge of town where they might find him. They could go right to the palace of Herod the king and ask him. Did you notice again when we read the scripture how when they asked the question, it troubled Herod and all of Jerusalem? Well, that was the kind of person Herod was. He'd been ruling in Jerusalem almost 40 years. He was a great ruler. He was a despot. He was a man who demanded honor, could be very generous, rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, not to the grandeur of Solomon, but greatly enhanced from what the returning captives could build. endeared himself to the Jews, but at the very same time could be cruel and heartless, even to his own family, to ensure that no one would try to take over or usurp his power. So when he's hearing from these wise men from Babylon that a king has been born, he's upset. And when Herod's upset, Jerusalem's upset. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And that prompts a question then. Herod brings in the religious leaders, the chief priests, the teachers, the rabbis, who serve him, who serve as a council to help him to understand how to best lead the Jews in Jerusalem and in Judea. And he asks them, where was the Messiah to be born? And maybe one of the most interesting parts of this story is they have no problem answering the question. The answer? Well, it's in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. It wasn't just a matter of, well, this is tradition, this is what we've been told. No, they could find it in their Bibles. They could turn, just like we did a few weeks ago, to Micah 5 and verse 2 and say, here it is, this is what the prophet says. But we know they didn't believe it. They weren't anticipating anything like this. So when the religious leaders say, this is what the prophet says, it's kind of like what happens today. When you say, the Bible says, depending on the context and depending on the question, sometimes when you hear the answer, well, the Bible says, you know that what's being said and what's being heard by those who are asking the question is, well, this is what the old book says. This is what religious people, spiritual people think. This is what the Bible says. And then there are times when, as in this group, when someone says, the Bible says, you know you're about to hear the truth. Not what someone thinks, not simply what someone thought, but this is what the Bible says, this is what God says. And at the end of the day, if you've done a good job of finding out what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. It didn't matter what Herod believed. It didn't matter what the chief priests and the religious leaders believed. They had, whether they knew it or not, and they didn't, just told the truth. The King of the Jews, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, had been born in Bethlehem. And that's exactly where they would find him. It's a good reminder what this book is all about. It's the truth. And if the Bible says it, it is true. Whether we believe it or not. This is not subjective. This is not a book you read, and if it speaks to your heart, good. If it doesn't, well, that's all right. There are parts of it that will, and there are parts of it that won't. This is the objective word of God. He said what he meant. He meant what he means what he says. And this portion of the story of the wise men reminds us of that truth. But this answer in the hearts of these wise men produces a faithful response. I do it almost subconsciously. And I did it this morning and realized as I was doing it what I was doing. This is after coming into the house, they didn't find Jesus in the stable back behind the inn. They found Jesus in a house. As I said, it had been months. You remember enough of the details of this story. You know that later, Herod, in a fit of rage, is going to order the murder of all children under the age of 2. Why did he choose that number? Some suspect it's because the wise men told him it was about 2 years ago that we saw the star. Just as likely, they told him about a year, and Herod, in his arrogance and wickedness, doubled it just to be safe. Just to be sure he would destroy that baby they came to see. So if it's been months, Joseph wouldn't have kept his family in that stable back behind the inn. Probably the next day he started looking for temporary housing. Now that the baby has come, Mary needs attention. Mary needs time to rest and to heal. The baby needs constant attention. You know, let's be careful not to make more of this story or to miss the point of this story. Jesus came as a baby. He got hungry. He got cold. He cried. Oh, not in anger, not in fear, because he never sinned. But you know, there are reflexes that God built into the bodies of those little babies so that they exercise their lungs. It's all a part of being a baby and growing up and thriving. And Jesus did all of that as a baby. He would require constant attention, just like babies do. You couldn't lay him aside and ignore him and say, well, oh, he's God, he'll take care of himself. No. He was a baby, and you cared for him. Well, that would mean a little more stable environment. And there's every reason to think that's exactly what Joseph did. He went out and found a place. Maybe he had to wait till after the census was over and the crowds went away. I don't know. But at some point, he was able to provide a fit place for Mary and for this newborn. And that's where the wise men find him. They came into the house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother. Which prompts the question, where's Joseph? Why isn't he standing there watching? Well, he's probably working. Joseph was a craftsman. And he had a craft and a skill that he could do almost anywhere. And he was like a lot of you all. You've learned how to adjust and adapt and do almost anything that needed to be done to feed your family, to house your family, to clothe your family. And I suspect that's exactly what Joseph was doing. But the wise men come in and they see the baby and Mary. And then they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but let me just point out, they worshiped him. They didn't worship them. They didn't worship the baby and his mother. The church down through history has kind of run the extreme in their attitude toward Mary. The church has from time to time almost deified her. And frankly, we've been guilty of doing just the exact opposite and ignoring her. When the truth is that she has a very important part in this story. From the time she was chosen to the time when this little one was conceived, through the birthing process and through raising him, she's very important. But she's not to be worshipped. She's not to be deified. They came in and they worshiped him. Somehow they knew that baby was the one. This is the one, and I know, I'm adding a little bit here. This is the one Daniel promised. This is the one Micah was talking about. This is the one Isaiah was talking about. This is the one Israel's been waiting for. And they worshiped. And as a part of their worship, they brought gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. And a lot has been made down through history of those gifts and the significance of them. Perhaps they represent different parts of the culture and the time and the person of this baby. But what we do know and do understand, very, very expensive gifts from men who could well afford it, wanting to make sure that this family knew, they understood just how important, just how significant this little one is. Again, you know this story. You know that when it's all over with, very quickly, God's going to tell Joseph, you've got to get out of here. You can't stay here. And they flee to Egypt. Just from the little hints that we get in the story of Mary, when the angel came to talk to her, and Joseph when he came to talk to him, and the significance of where they were living in Nazareth, and the trip down to Bethlehem for the census, they probably didn't have a whole lot of money, a lot of means. They certainly didn't travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem with the means to go on to Egypt for who knows how long. Again, you know the rest of the story. They're going to stay in Egypt until Herod dies. How did they afford that? Well, maybe with some gold and frankincense and myrrh. I don't know. God always provides for whatever's needed. Sometimes just in time. For when it's needed. There's one other little part of this story. And if you have your Bible, I want you to look down at verse 12. We didn't read that earlier, so Jeremy doesn't have it. But verse 12 says, "And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country another way." These men have learned so much over the last few months. They saw a star and they followed it. They confront a king to find a king, and they found him. Now, we don't do this very often, and depending on how this goes, we may never do it again. But after me now, say, "Wow."
Wow.
Okay. And then, amen.
Amen.
Okay. What catches my attention here about verse 12? God feels very comfortable talking to these men. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember, not months ago, we don't know what they knew or what they believed. They just saw a star. They came to confirm what they had been told and what they had read. Now God's talking to them. Wow. And he told them to go a different way. And they obeyed. Amen. When God talks to you, wow, in his book, and you obey, amen. That's who these people are. They're people who have learned to hear the voice of God and obey. What does he expect to ask of his children? Hear me and obey. Listen and obey. They came in response to what they had read and seen. They found the promised child. They worshiped him. Wise men and women still seek him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this part of the story. We wouldn't know this if you hadn't shared it with Matthew somehow. Don't know how Matthew knows this, but he does. And he included it in his gospel. The only place we find this. Thank you for a reminder that while Jesus came as a Jew to the Jews, he also came for the Persians, for the Egyptians. For the white Anglo-Saxons, for the black, the brown, the red, the yellow. He came for the world because you loved the world and sent a Savior to the world. Thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.